Good Moed. We have our quiz on Kalamoid to learn in Yanim that are about the Yontif and using a lot of times from Chassidus. This time we're going to do a shtickel in Derech Mitzvah Secha. Derech Mitzvah Secha is a very, very chashuv sefer, very fundamental sefer. It was written by the Tzemach Tzedek, who was the third Lubavitcher Rebbe. Tzemach Tzedek was born in 1798. He died in 1860. He was fundamental in establishing Chabad. While the previous Rebbes were involved in Machlekes, and whether their fault, not their fault, but Al Kapanim, Tzemach Tzedek was accepted widely by many, many different segments of Klai Yisrael, the literature, the Misnagdim accepted him. He was a Goyen in Nigla, he wrote the Jewish Tzemach Tzedek. He was a Goyen Adir and everything. His Hekif and his Yedias are really, really extraordinary. He was a voluminous writer, probably wrote literally hundreds of thousands of pages of Chidushim, and most of it, the vast majority in Chassidus. A lot of the Nekudas themselves come from the Baal HaTanya, but the Archavos Devarim and his Hekif is really, really astounding. And the Sefer Derech Mitzvah Secha especially is seen as a very, very basic Sefer in these Inyanim. Derech Mitzvah Secha is on Inyanim of Mitzvahs. It's something which is, doesn't have all the Mitzvahs. It has a few dozen mitzvahs. I'm not sure if you intend to write more or whatever. But Al Kalpanim, what he does is, he usually, almost always starts off with bringing the chinuch, who explains the inyan. He brings the Arizal, who explains the inyan, and tries sometimes to see them as being part and parcel of the same inyan. And it's part of his Surah of Goyness, which it is part and parcel of his Goyness that he was someone who tried to combine the two together. And this is the piece that we're going to see is the shtickle on Mitzvahs Achilas Matzah. It's called Mitzvahs Hashvasas Chametz Achilas Matzah, and it's in the standard print. It's Amud Chof Gimel. We're going to skip the first piece, which is really it has its own nekuda. We'll just read a little bit from the first piece. He first has a shtickle from the Rizal, a rather dense shtickle. I guess what I'd like to take out of it, the one point that is going to be significant in his explanation, is going to be a line in the middle of the Arizal where he says, "V'inyan ha-mitzvusu kibo'is ha-layl ha-chvosim v'gam kein kol ha-moichin di-ibu yinike moichin yachad, dayne moichin di-katnus o-moichin di-gadlus. V'ibnoisu v'zegam kein katnus v'gadlus sheni." What's important for us is, of this nekuda, is there were two levels of das, two levels of tfisa and emuna that came through matzah. One is called moichin dekatnus, one is called moichin dekadlus. Moichin dekatnus means the way a child would understand, which is rather simple, rather shallow. And then there's moichin dekadlus, which is a deeper, more mature, broader understanding. At first glance, it simply seems to be a difference between, let's call it a great understanding, a little understanding, more, less, but that's not the point, obviously, and that's going to be very much in his hesba. He then brings a chinuch, and he says, he brings, first of all, a zoya that says, matzah gives you emunah by eating it. And then he brings a chinuch. The chinuch says, very famous pshat, the pshat that's the standard pshat, "Ki u'yisoy gadol v'amud chazik toraseinu v'maseinu, chilas matzah and sipitis mitzrayim, is a very, very firm foundation of Emunah. It's something which is a clear indicator of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being Mechadosh the world. Obviously, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu can overturn the Teva, as the events in Mitzrayim showed, certainly He's the Creator. There is a primary God who is can do as He wishes. He's got no limitations. He can change nature at any time, just like in Mitzrayim. So the Chinuch also says that the eating of matzah establishes emunah. He explains it in a very partial way. It's these events are the eating of the matzah becomes a testimony to the events. These events themselves are the strongest indicator that it must be that nature itself came through the creation, because someone can simply wreak havoc with nature. Now he says, even though v'im shekasat varav elal pipshut papasha dainishai that mitzvah asikar and so on, even though he wrote it al derech hapshad, he says about the chinuch mikol makor korek damtucho b'mitzvahs mila k'raisa sosa v'galya. I've already told you about the mitzvahs of mila, that the Torah has a hidden part and an overt part. And the Chinuch is writing the mitzvah in terms of what, you know, of the way one sees it through Nigla, the overt understanding, while pianista, but the covered understanding is also there's some element in matzah that strengthens emunah. And it is sort of a continuation of what's there on the surface. So it's true that the surface understanding of it conveys the message of Emunah, so does the inner understanding, and he is going to focus more on that inner understanding. The first point that he makes, and it's a point that we're going to skip, it's not so relevant to us at this moment. I mean, it's part of the further explanation, but it's a yesod that's repeated infinite amount of times in Chassidus of Chabad, is that the emuna of God as being almighty, omnipotent, and so on, is an emuna which is expected of everyone. It's an emuna that really the word emuna shouldn't apply to it. It's something that reasoning should get you there. It's something that we should be able to reason through by all sorts of arguments and all sorts of thought process. What requires emunah, because it's something that simply we don't have the ability to grasp it, is that nothing exists but HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That the world itself, its entire existence is simply the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there is nothing else that exists but HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's something that we don't grasp, I don't have to use the word easily or at all. It's something that we can say the words, we can believe in it, but what does it mean not to exist? No person can imagine its own non-existence, and therefore it belongs to the realm of Emunah, inherently so. It's not because we may not have enough good proofs. It's simply a concept that the human mind cannot cope with. Human mind cannot imagine its own non-existence, and therefore it's something we know the words, we say them, we believe in them, but we don't really grasp it intellectually the way we might grasp the first point of God being simply the strongest, all-powerful in creation. Okay, now he says, Beis, v'zeu mitzvahs achilas matzah. Klal Yisrael Mitzrayim were living in the context of a nation that did not have a Muna, that were not, they certainly were anti-Haminim. And therefore, Klal Yisrael had that same attitude. And they could not possibly, they needed something to be koveya this emuna they needed it to have this emuna planted in them, and therefore Kadosh Baruch Hu needed to begin to give them that emuna. Now, how do we do that? But inyan yuvan api maimer azal ein atinok yodeh likros abba vima achitam tam daga. It says that a child does not know, does not call his father and mother until he tastes bread. The Gemara over there is talking about a halachic concept. It is as follows. A child, the waste product is something which you cannot say a davar shebekdusha when there's waste product around. And therefore, if any place is soiled, you cannot say in the vicinity anything that's kadosh. However, a child, before he is, as long as he is nursing, his waste product is not considered halachically waste product. And it's only when he begins to eat bread and grains that his waste product is considered halachically something which is going to is going to be considered foul enough to not allow it to say Dvarim Shebekdusha. The logic behind that, the Gemara says something that is kind of a little bit strange to us. The Gemara says the more a person is knowledgeable, the more a person knows, understands, the more the side effect of it is bad. The Gemara says, Mosif Das, Mosif Machov, that in proportion to a person's gaining of knowledge, there's also more difficult side effects, so to speak. Now, the product of the person's eating of grains and things of that nature are something that create the waste, which is foul. And the reason is because with the beginning of eating grain, the child has enough understanding to be able to recognize his father and his mother. So, we have the child eats grain. He now is capable of understanding the concept of father and mother. That understanding produces an undesirable side effect, which is which means a waste product that is foul and creates sirchum. That's the flow of the Talmudic logic in terms of the halachas of brach of Kriyas Shema and so on. Now he says, "V'hine inyan kriyas abba v'ima achimos tam dogen eino yediyah v'asaga mitis mahu aviv shu hayoyse molido v'kiyotze v'yose chelik mo ha'av mamish." Says, let's understand something. The concept of a father is an intellectual concept. It's something which animals probably don't have. They have some sense of a mother as long as they're nursing, but then that's it. There's not the sense of father and mother we understand. But the child doesn't understand that. The child doesn't have that sense of father and mother that a grown-up has. To him, it's just a vague recognition. And certainly the conception of it is beyond him. The imkulze in lomash logia shuma karbedaita shuma kiro bakor gemura liyif nachas ulosei. V'hainu shenimshach yediyazu hamites shalomayla midayt vasegos shal tinoik v'nislapsho b'tzimtzum b'dayt vasegosay ad sheyosik v'anasini kemo shumamish lomayla midayt. So he says like this. When we say that the child doesn't understand fully the concept of Abba v'Ima, it's not as if it's two separate concepts. And he understands a very, very different picture. And then when he becomes an adult, he understands a very, very, very big picture. That's a very different picture. No. It's really, really one lies within the other. In other words, as the child says father and mother, and there's some flicker of a sense of awareness of an entity father or mother with a pleasant some sort of pleasant accompaniment to it, some sense of positiveness to it, as he grows older and he gets a better and a bigger sense of it, he is going to understand that as having lain within the first understanding. It's going to be more like a seed sprouting and becoming a plant than a kid trading in a toy for an adult. A kid has a toy car. Toy car is not a real car, and it won't be a real car. And there's nothing in a toy car that's ever going to become a real car. It's two separate cars. When he's a little boy, he has a little plastic car. When he's a grown-up, he has a car. They sort of look alike, but they're very, very different entities. A seed and a plant may look different, but everything that's in the plant was in the seed. It's the same thing we find let's take a grown-up for a minute. A person is a scientist. He has an intuitive idea about something. Now, that intuitive idea may be very raw, some bare association between two things with some very vague sense of it. As he researches and develops the ideas more and more and more, he then actually understands what it is that his intuition was. If his intuition is right, he's going to develop the formula, the mechanism of dissociation, the correlation exactly, and so on. This is all going to happen as it develops. So it was seen as having lain in the first idea and slowly developing outwards. So the child also, he has a real idea. He has a sense father and mother's registered. It hasn't developed yet, but it's registered, and within that is where you're going to have it. And he says, when he calls out father, in that calling out lies all of that, that the father gave birth to him and he's part of his father, and therefore the father cares for him, therefore the father wants to do for him, and therefore he can call on him, all that's there. Says it's sort of become compressed in a way that he gets it, but it's there. Imagine when you learn with a child or with a simple person halachas, you tell them the halacha l'maisa. That halacha l'maisa has a lot of development in it. It has a masa matan, there's a shaka v'tarya. One of the properties of Rashi and the Rambam that make them stand out in ways that, you know, that stand out for generations, is the ability to compress in simple statements a tremendous amount of scholarship. Let's take an example. You have works that are simple, a simple translation for a young person, for a child, for the layman, for the unlettered, and so on. The translation is simple. It gives you a simple understanding. It does not in any way contain any of the depth. It's sometimes misleading because it's oversimplified, but it has a use. You know, you're kind of getting a simple idea, and that's that. You have complex works that go through a lot of back and forth at different points and trying to determine each point exactly what it is and why it is and the different ways you could look at it and so on. those might be very accurate points, but they're kind of useless if anyone except for the very learned. What makes Rashi astounding is Rashi is perfectly useful for the Talmud Chacham as it is for the simple person. There's no difference. You can learn it and use it as a very, very pleasant guide to to having a very pleasant guide to pshat, to a dafayomi person, to someone just simple pshat, and it can be used for very, very complex. It can be used to understand where it came from, and when you learn Rashi really well, you'll get that as well. Also, you will get a real sense of what Rashi went through to get to his pshat, why he didn't like what Tosis said, even though Tosis pshat might seem more to the point, but Rashi had his reasons, so on and so forth. Same is true with the Rambam. The Rambam competes with the Kiddush Shoharach for its sort of brevity kind of and simple language and straightforward language, but the Rambam can be learned like the Reb Chaim learns him. The Rambam is can be learned with an extraordinary amount of depth because he had gone through the depth. He had condensed it into what appears to be simple statements, and that's the goddess of it, where in a simple format it contains everything else. And that's what he says. Within that idea, so a person has a halacha with somebody, and he says within that halacha there is a depth that has been disguised through the fact that it's written in simple form and brief. And he also uses mishalim that are nice in the child's world, that not particularly relevant maybe in the adult world. They are, sort of a simple type of mashal, and that's fine. It's the child's mashal. It's not the adult's mashal. But the now he says. And therefore, it's a halachic term, when you take something through a utensil, through a tool, it's considered as if you took it. So in the child, when the Tam Dogen allows the child to call out Avavima, he has an understanding. Why is this koach in Dogen particularly? So he says that it's the reason why it's especially associated with bread is because the bracha of Hamotzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz means everything, all the other minim, we make a bracha bore, bore pri adama, bore pri eitz, bore min epsamim. The only one that we make a different bracha in that way is Hamotzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz, because the lechem was there within the dagan, waiting to be unfolded. In other words, the place where we see that there's a chachma locked into an entity, everything else is as it is, pear, peach, so on. In bread, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows that that's hamotzi lechem min haaretz, that you can bring out, develop the lechem min haaretz. Vini says, I'm skipping a few lines here. He says over here, I'll just sum up, I guess, what he skips. He says, the understanding of Vehina Adizeh Hamshachas Das Aloiki, ונפשת בני ישראל לסלבש בן ויכולתם. Says bebchina shalamata meadas hu sheikor laviyam shebashemayim. So the concept of a god, the concept of the other who I am from, lies in that. If it's true physically that the concept of the first concept of das lies in a certain understanding, in a certain ability to grasp origin, and that's father, mother, so it's true that in Emuna, the concept of Hashbrochu as a Vinuata is what's grasped. So he says, and this Emuna is able to tap into, in other words, the idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being real existence and us not, is not something that is easy for us to understand. I don't even know if it's all that possible in a full sense of words. Probably falls under the Irani Adam Chai, but it's something which allows me to which I can grasp at some level. So he says, "Vine b'emes kol Yisrael ma'minim ma'minim b'emunas imin emunah kvura v'yaseh b'alpim chas Hashem, at sheyuchu limsa nafkudish Hashem." Now, Kol Yisrael has an innate ability, mosa nefesh. Mikol makrem harei ein masig v'inyan ma'u muhusi yisparach, u'bitl ha'olam emetzius mamish, keziv ha'shemesh ba'shemesh. You know, but the idea that our world really is simply an emanation from God, it's not, it doesn't have its own validity, it's not its own entity, but rather it's from the way in which we would have to understand that we really are simply a continuation of our parents, and you know, with a sense of independence, but really we're sort of them. That's something that that's a very, very difficult idea. So we're starting the process of Emunah was akin to the process of the first grasp of depth of conceptualization of a child, which happens with the eating of Dagon, and slowly developing it into this concept. I want to add a point, I guess, and we'll hold it here, but I want to add a point that really is significant over here. The big picture, we talk about Emuna and Yediyah as being two separate or conflicting, possibly, but certainly two totally unrelated entities. So there are people that know, understand, think. There are people that believe, and so on. They're opposite. And we need to believe only those things that we don't know and understand. And those things that we believe are not really true with Seichel, because we can't prove it, and so on and so forth. So a person can be either a Maimin or a Yodea. A person, it might be preferable to choose Yodea, might be preferable to choose Emunah. We're always busy choosing one or the other. Emunah Pshut might be better, might be worse. The way he's explaining it is a much, it's a synthesis, which is the Emes. Emunah is the initial grasp of something that I have a sense of it, and a sense of Emes that has yet to be developed to understanding. Which means as follows. Every understanding of things that are really beyond us starts with Emunah. And Emunah is the first foothold in knowledge. And that's something which is very, very significant in terms of we've done something. When I feel this is right and I have an Emunah in it, I have Yediyah within that Emunah. It's not there yet. It's not different than when a scientist who has an intuitive sense about something that intuition will grow and flourish into real knowledge. Once a person is firm with emunah, then begins the process of developing what's in the emunah. What exactly is it that I know? What exactly is it that I understand? How exactly does it work? What causes and so on. And a person keeps developing. So just like as the child grows older, his understanding of his initial sense of father and mother begins to take on many definitions, many understandings, and his growth is measured in the maturity and depth of his understanding, but it all came down to the basic sense of fatherhood, motherhood, that he had as a child. So, and this is clearly the link between Pesach and Shavuos. Pesach is matzah. Matzah is a condensed version. It's like when you have a piece of dough. The dough will rise and become a challah, but the challah is already in this flat piece of dough. So the flat piece of dough is our food on Pesach. The fully developed challah is going to be our Mayach on Shavuos. Shavuos we eat Alechem, which is chametz, and here we see matzah. So emuna to Yediyah is the seed to the blossoming of the entire.